And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom, and I enjoy the heck out of working on your and my financial freedom as we do this show. This is a continuation of last week's show. I started hitting some emails that have been piling up from our listeners. I do enjoy it. I respond personally to our listeners, and then I do hit some of the questions on the show if it's relevant to share with others. And a lot of times it is. These are the same questions you have or the same questions that other folks have. And if you miss that show, you want to go back and catch it. How can you catch it? Well, I'll give you three ways. YouTube, we have our own website. Go to Lifestyles Unlimited on YouTube and you'll find a ton of shows, not just my shows, but Del Walmsley, Andy Webb, and the great Al Gordon will be there as well. The website, very easy, lifestylesunlimited.com. There's decades of the podcast and radio shows right there. Just click on the appropriate button. You'll find them. Professional tip, there's a little search bar down at the bottom. You can type in your favorite host or subject or what have you and find those shows. By far, my opinion, the easiest way to catch the show, every one of you has a smartphone. You may not be using all of the apps, but there's one that's really simple and fun to use, and it's the podcast app right there on your smartphone. Just hit that and subscribe to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And if you're tinkering around in your garage or your man cave or you're driving somewhere, or even with the family, sometimes I'll put it on and I'll say, hey, kids, we got an 8-hour drive. We're going to put on an hour, 2 hours of some real estate. See if we can absorb some information here and get better. But it's right there on your podcast app in your smartphone. And the cool thing is you can just tooth it up and listen to it whenever you want. My email address, askmike@luinc.com. So it came up last week in, we were talking about improving value in a multifamily apartment community. And the value really is about increasing net operating income. It's a business. So when net operating income improves, goes up, then the business is worth more. We want it to be worth more. This is our investment. The way we make it worth more at Lifestyles Unlimited, there's slumlords out there and they say, well, the way you make it worth more is you spend less. Okay, that's one way to grow your NOI. It's temporary. At best, you're going to get people moving out and you're going to get a bad resident. But if you want to be a slumlord and not take care of the property, sure, you can try that route. It's a more difficult route. Some people think it's easier just not to spend money on their clients, the people that live there. Counterintuitive, 180 degrees different. Provide value and people will pay more. When you go to the store, do you always buy the cheapest, good, better, best, my friends? People will pay more for better or best, but you better provide better or best, or you're going to quickly find out that they're disgruntled, not happy. We want a happy resident. So at Lifestyles Unlimited, our lead investors, our aspiring lead investors, our operation consultants, our mentors, we're meeting constantly, okay, constantly, and we're saying, hey, what are some great ideas to grow NOI? What's a way we can grow NOI? How do we make this property more valuable? We came up with 28 different ways to do that. If you know a different way, send it to us. I'll share it with other people. But let me go through these and let me see if I hit everything out there for you. And I think you might be kind of amazed at just the ingenuity that's gone into some of this. So number one, add some new amenities, okay? Your property versus property B across the street. If you've got the car wash, the dog park, the dog runs, the upgraded mailroom, that's a little nicer than maybe other properties. That's appealing to people. If that means you can get another $20 a door because you have the dog run, or the car wash or the dog wash. I've seen professional dog washes installed in some of ours. You know, it's got the little tub where you can kind of walk the dog up, and then it's got the cool hose that kind of hangs down from the spring, and you can wash Scrappy right there, and it's got the good soap provided, and you can scrub them down, and then it's got the air dryers. That's pretty cool. I've got to take my dog to a dog wash place outside of my house or put them in the tub, and then I got to clean the tub when I'm done. But if that was right there on the property, that would be a value to me. If I had a dog park on the property, and I'm a dog lover, if you can't tell, that would be a value to me. All right, let's go into another way. We call this variable marketing and pricing by upgrading appliances. We might have different appliance packages within that property, right? We don't necessarily have the platinum package in all the units, but if we do a little test market and we find that, you know, a certain percentage of people will pay an extra $100, $150 a month for a premium appliance package, well, by all means, we'll supply that, okay? I was just going through an email from one of our lead investors on a property that I'm an investor in, and he can do a $4,200 upgrade in a unit, okay? And it includes countertops and includes appliances, and he's calling it a premium package or what have you. And you may be thinking, well, Mike, $4,200, it's going to be hard to reap that back. Well, he's able to rent the unit quicker, and he's able to rent the unit for $100 to $150 more per month. And I can see your mind clicking. You're still going, wait a second. That's still not very much. It's only about $1,200 a year, and you said you're spending $4,200. Again, listen, our properties are based on net operating income times a capitalization rate. The value of that property improves when it rents for an extra $100 a month by over $8,000 per unit. Every time he gets one, the value of that property bumps $8,000. So we spend $4,200 to make $8,000. I'll take that equation all day long. I'm an investor in a property in Waco, and he has an upgraded finish package. It's a different paint package. It's a two-tone package. It's a different flooring package. Now, he doesn't just go throw that in 30 units and go, let's roll the dice and see what happens. He does one or two units, and then his leasing professionals come back, and they're like, man, those two units that we did, they rented like that. Boom. I mean, they took off. The people walked in, and they say, yeah, I'll take it. By the way, those units are $75 more a month than the good units or the better units. It's just however it's structured. I mean, there's no exact way to do it, but you've got to test it in your market. You got to see if it works. Maybe it goes off like a dud. Hey, no one wants to pay extra for this stuff. Okay, we tried that experiment. Didn't work. We'll move on to the next thing. So you can have an upgraded finish package for people. And again, it comes with a little different pricing package that goes with it. Unit location fees. What does that mean? Well, you may have somebody that says, hey, I only want to live on the first floor. Well, if everybody rents up the first floors and then it's harder for you to rent the second floor, what you do is you raise the cost of the first floor units. Oh, first floor, those are an extra $50 a month. Is that going to be a concern to you, Mrs. Smith? No, that's not a concern. I'll gladly pay an extra $50 if I can live on the first floor. Boom, done. But that means you're not just renting out one kind and then you get stuck with the other kind. And it might be different pricing for, you might have a one bedroom that's super popular, but you've got three different configurations of that one bedroom. And maybe one layout is the one that really just hits people's hot buttons. Guess what? We're going to charge a little more for that one. If that one's just renting off the shelf, so to speak, we need to raise the price of that because people are taking this and they're not taking the other, right? Give those options to people. Garage rental fees, very common. Some multifamily properties, there might be a 200 unit and there's 40 garages on there. Those are of value to certain people. Charge garage rental fees. Garage rental location fees. Oh, you want to rent the garage that's right here? We've got seven in the back that no one seems to want. Those are a little cheaper. These are a little more expensive. What appeals to you? Covered parking fees. I've seen this both ways. There's a property we were invested in, and every parking was covered, every single one of them. The lead actually considered taking some of those down. You may be going, what? Why are we taking it down? Because if everybody has it, it's not a value. If only 50% of them have covered parking and 50% don't, you can now charge for covered parking. But if covered parking's everywhere, you can't charge for that. Or you can add that to a property. Okay, it gets pretty hot in some of these areas where we're investors. Some people want to park their car in shade. I'm always amazed at some of the nice cars that some of these renters have. I mean, it's not uncommon to have, some people just don't want to own a house, but they also own a Corvette and a brand new Camaro or brand new Mustang or BMW, and they want to park those in covered parking. They have very nice cars. They want to take care of them. They appreciate them. They're into it. I get it. I'm a car guy too. I love it. Nothing wrong with that. But you can have covered parking fees. You can even have extra parking fees, right? Now, it depends on the layout of the property, right? All these ideas don't work on every property. I'll give you an example. I was looking at a property in Dallas that I was going to purchase as an independent rental owner. It was priced right, 22 unit. It was built a long time ago. It was a pretty old property. It was in good shape. It had been redone. 22 unit, it only had 11 parking spaces, okay? There's a code in Dallas that, and this person's been grandfathered in because I think it's been in her family for decades upon decades. So the city of Dallas, until it sells, is not going to make them add parking. But the new person buying it is going to have to add parking. Now, this is in Uptown. There is no way to add parking to this property. It's impossible. I passed on that. There just wasn't any parking. But again, you may have the exact opposite. Some of the 80s properties are great. They're very spread out. They might have 2.2 parking places per door. You can't charge a double park. You're not going to get away charging a double parking fee. There's more than enough parking for somebody. But you may buy a property and there's only 1.2 parking spaces. Again, the codes are different. You got to look at the parking. Is this something that's even possible? And what is my occupancy? If my occupancy is 70% and I start hitting our residents with all these fees, it's not going to go over well. If our occupancy is 97, 98, 99% and we have people waiting in line to get to our property, we can start implementing some of these fees and see how it goes. Okay. Again, first and foremost, we want to keep those occupancy rates high because that's our income coming in, right? An empty unit's not paying you. Southwest Airlines, Herb Kelleher, a plane sitting on the ground's not making money. An empty unit in an apartment community is not making money. So extra vehicle parking fees is going to depend on demand, and it's going to depend on how many spaces you have. On-site storage, I promise you, your residents, they're storing something somewhere, okay? The majority of them already have their storage location that they're keeping their stuff in. And Del Walmsley, my favorite Delism of them all is you don't own stuff. Stuff owns you. That's absolutely fantastic. I've taken it to heart. I try to minimalize as much as I can. Just get that extra clutter out of your life. But a lot of people have storage units. If you had storage units on your property, and I have seen where lead investors have added storage units, that's another income potential, right? That's another source of income. That's another leg of income. You can rent those storage units to your resident. How convenient that their storage place is right there. How much would someone pay for that? Well, our leads found out and it works, right? More on the other side.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. Going through the 28 ways we've identified to increase net operating income on a multifamily property. You see, the income doesn't just come from rent, even though rent is the greatest source of the income. There are other ways to grow the net operating income. But again, you've got to have a great product that's appealing to somebody. No one's just going to pay fees to pay fees unless your product is better than the other opportunities that are out there. And again, if you're offering a product that somebody wants, they'll pay for it. Absolutely 100%. We prove that to ourselves every day as consumers, right? We don't always buy the cheapest. Sometimes we upgrade. Sometimes we go to the Michelin tires, or sometimes we go to the bigger tires or the all-terrain tires. And tires are on my mind just because I put new tires on my son's truck. And yeah, we got him some bigger tires and some all-terrains. So looks really cool. They weren't the cheapest tires out there. I'm thankful that the tire place had a good, better, best opportunity, right? They didn't just sell one kind of tire. We do the same. It's the same principle in multifamily. So the next way, trash valet. I've seen this a lot. Not everyone wants to walk down to the dumpster and take their trash. Hey, for an extra $10 a month, $15 a month, set your trash, as long as it's out in a bag on Tuesdays and Thursdays, out in front of your door. We will pick our valet will pick the trash up for you, and we'll carry that to the dumpster. Sometimes the dumpster's right around the corner. Sometimes it's 2 acres and it's around the back. It's just where the dumpster is. You can't always put dumpsters in places that are convenient. People will pay for trash valet. I have also seen where trash valet is required on properties. If you've got a very desirable property, you can make it required. Hey, it's an extra $15 a month for trash valet. The good news is we're going to pick your trash up for you. That gives the management team some control, right? You don't just have mattresses and all kinds of chairs and everything hanging out of your dumpster. If your team is the one that picks up the trash and puts the trash in the dumpster. Okay, I don't know if you can keep those dumpster areas locked where only the maintenance team or the management team has access to it or not. That's a great question that just kind of came up as I'm thinking out loud here on the show. But trash valet fees, very desirable. A lot of people want this, and sometimes it's you're able to make it mandatory. File for and collect eviction fees. This is big. You would be surprised at how many mom and pops out there. Occasionally, you've got to evict somebody, either because you want to or because they're, and that would be a no fault, right? Maybe you don't. That was wrong. I was thinking about the no fault lease, where you're not renewing the lease on somebody and you're just asking them to leave. But when you have to go to eviction, which is uncommon unless it's a new property takeover and you want to go to eviction, that's where I was going. Sometimes you just need people to go. But have an eviction fee. Hey, if we have to go through eviction, it's an extra $250. And there is work involved. You've got to file the paperwork. You've got to send somebody to court on the right date to evict the resident. Have an additional fee. Collect late fees. This is a good operator is always collecting late fees. But again, some of these mom and pops are like, well, you know, Miss Cheryl's been with us for 18 years and now all of a sudden she's late, so I'm not going to collect the late fees. If late fees are listed in the lease and you don't collect them, then you just, as the owner of the property, broke the lease. A judge can look at that. You may think you're doing your good deed. No good deed goes unpunished. You may say, oh, I'm just being nice to Mrs. So-and-so. Well, the judge may say, well, you never collected late fees in the past, so you really weren't that concerned that the rent was late, were you, Mr. or Mrs. Owner or Management Company? And the judge may decide to rule however they want. They may say, well, you can't evict this person. You have to give them another 60 days, 90 days, because you broke the lease, not the resident. Commissions from cable and internet providers. This is big today because more people work from home. You've got to have a great internet connection. You've got to have that high gig speed on your internet. And as an apartment owner, you can go to these providers and you can get these technology packages that you can then offer to your residents, or maybe you make it required. My daughter moved into a Class A property, and hey, it's an extra $75 a month, but cable's included. Your Wi-Fi is included in it, and this is the provider we use, and it just is what it is. So, if again, if your property is desirable, you can do stuff like that. It, sometimes you just offer it as, again, an upgrade and allow some of your residents to take advantage of that. You can have in-unit laundry equipment rental fees. Okay, if the unit has the ability to have washer and dryer, so awesome. If you can, a property that has in-house washer and dryer, and not everyone does. You may have your laundry room on the property, but you may have an unit, but that person doesn't have a washer or dryer. Well, you can say as the management team, hey, we'll provide you the washer and dryer, and it's, you know, whatever, $40 a month for the washer and dryer. Again, you are growing the net operating income. You're adding to what they're paying each and every month. And again, it trickles down to the net operating income. Upgrade the laundry room or add a laundry room. Some of these properties that don't even have laundry hookups in the units don't even have a laundry room on site. And so your residents are having to go off site. That is inconvenient to them. If you can create a laundry room, then that's now a business income that's coming in, right? You own the laundry room, you manage the laundry room, you collect the rental that's going on in the laundry room, and those are, again, growing the additional, growing the net operating income. I'm an investor in a property, and it didn't have the in-unit laundry room, but it was a roomy apartment, and when you looked at it, and you got in there, and you're like, hey, we can put this out. We could put a door here. We could put a washer and dryer in this little pocket of the unit and run the plumbing accordingly. And it's only going to cost us X to do that. And this particular lead investor started doing that in the units. He didn't do them all. He started slow. Okay. And he did 3 or 4 units, and they were very popular. People were like, yes, I want the unit that has the ability to hook up a washer and dryer. I want to do my own laundry in my own apartment. And it was such a hot feature that now every time he does a unit turn, every single turn automatically gets the laundry upgrade, the laundry package. And so they're going to replumb. They have to do some sheetrock work. They have to put a little door in on one side and kind of carry out a wall on another side. It's not that big of a deal, but totally added value to an older property that never had washer or dryer hookup in the past. Retain security deposits. This is interesting to me. A lot of mom and pops, again, don't even have security deposits, or they automatically give the security deposit back. I'm not saying just flat out keep the security deposit. That's illegal. But go walk the unit when they move out. If there's a hole in the wall and it's going to cost you $75 to fix that, then by all means, keep that from the security deposit. If the dog chewed holes in the carpet and you got to replace the carpet, I'm going to take that out of the security deposit. If the place is, just damaged, then that's your property. Okay, that's what the security deposit's there for. But it's amazing how often we purchase a property from a previous group and they were never really keeping or enforcing their security deposit. So continuing on, there is something called RUBS. It's Resident Utility Billing System. Let's say we buy a property and it's one of those all bills paid, right? You see it all the time. You're driving down the road and there you're like, all bills paid. And it brings it in, and it means what's happening is the owner of the property is paying the electricity, they're paying the water, they're paying the gas, whatever utilities going in there, they're paying it all. Now, you start improving the property, and you get to like, hey, we're 98% occupied, and we have a line of people that want to live here. Well, time to start charging the residents back for these utilities. So we implement RUBS. And not to go deeply into RUBS, but there is a method to how this is done, and it's typically based on unit size and how many people are living in the unit. You've got a one bedroom with one person, they're not going to get rubbed back at the same rate as somebody that's in a two bedroom property and there's four people there. It's just natural that four people are using more electricity, more water, more of everything than the person in the smaller unit that's living by themselves. So what you're doing is you're billing the residents back the utilities, right? A percentage of the electric, a percentage of the water, okay? It goes on and on. But you can now start, you're saving money, right? You were paying it yourself, and now the resident is taking ownership in some of that. You know what happens when you implement RUBS? I'll just take something as simple as water. In the past, in these all bills paid, true, you would have this happen. But if there's a drippy sink and it's just dripping, they don't care. They're not paying the water bill. Now they're starting to pay the water bill. Guess what? Hey, my sink is dripping. I can't get it to stop dripping. Well, they'll turn in a maintenance report because they're concerned. That's now coming out of their pocket. Hey, my toilet runs all the time. They're calling these things in. These are things you want to know about to begin with as a property owner, right? Best product, best price. If your toilet runs constantly, that's an issue. Let's get it fixed. Let's quit wasting that water. At the same time, we could put in some low flow shower heads. We can put in some low flow toilets. We can put these in and we can reduce all that waste that's going on. But in doing that, you're massively, massively improving the value of that property. Now let's talk about adding revenue producing units. Or what's more common is we'll purchase a property and Steve, the maintenance guy, well, he's been here 15 years, so we just pay his, we give him a free unit, and that's no big deal. Well, that's, I don't know, whatever your rent is, $900, $1,200 a month, that's not going to the bottom line. We need to fix that. Hey, Steve, we love you. Let's work this out. Maybe it's a little bit of a raise, but you're going to pay rent. If you want to live here, you're welcome to live here. If you don't want to live here, go rent a place somewhere else, but we need to bring that unit back online and we need to rent it out. And by the way, we're not going to reduce the rent. Maybe the manager only pays 50% rent. That needs to go away. This is a business, okay? We're going to rent this unit out. Manager, we'd love for you to live on the property. If you don't live on the property, that's fine, but you need to be on the property during working hours. Often we find a lot of units, and that's where all the old appliances are stored. This is real. It's very common. But when the stove in unit 37 goes out, they pull the stove out of the vacant unit and stick it in this one. And then we take the bad stove back to this particular workshop unit is what it's become. Maybe we can fix it. And so they just stack this stuff up in there. And now we have a unit that's offline. We can't rent it out. That's lost revenue potential, okay? Let's get this cleaned up. Let's get the unit ready for a resident to move in. This is very common, too. You look at the office, and it's a giant office, and it's got an open area that's never used on the right side, and the left side's where we store the Christmas stuff and the Christmas tree and all the decorations and everything. Well, we get a good GC in there, and the GC looks at it and says, yeah, we can put a wall here. We can put a bathroom here. They've got access to this side. We can add one or two additional rental units to an office and still maintain an office. Redo the office design, redo the office layout. And we just took a 200-unit property and made it a 202-unit property. Again, growing net operating income. Reduce bad debt. Right. If there is old debt on the books and it's owed to you, do your best to collect it or write it off. OK, reduce loss to lease, reduce vacancy. These are all sound basic. But the way you do that is, A, taking care of the books, managing the property and having a great product for people that want to come in and live in your property. Increase gross potential rent. Sounds very simple. You can't just buy a property and go, hey, we're averaging $900 a month and everything around us is $1,200 a month. So overnight, as these leases expire, we're going to $1,200 a month. That's not going to work. People are going to move out. You have to have a reason to increase the rent. And I've gone through a lot of these reasons, but just in a nutshell, increase the rent. Sometimes you can go up $100 a month, though. Hey, everything else is at 12. We're at 9 when this lease renews. We're going to $1,000. We're going to $1,150. Okay. You can get away with some of it, but you can't just pop it all. Again, it's got to be superior management, best product, best price. You can charge an application fee. Very common. I've never actually rented a unit where there wasn't an application fee. My kids have never rented a unit where there was never an application fee. Just something basic, but there's a lot of properties that have never done that in the past, and so they're not doing it now. When you lease one of my single family properties, there's an application fee. We've got to go through that. You're paying it online. When you basically fill out the application to get access to the application, there's the fee. For the fee for the lease to be admitted, you got to pay the fee. All right, I got one email, and I'll hit it quickly for the end of the show. This was brought up from our last show, but basically I got into tenant screening as the most important process. And this individual says, can you suggest or recommend, advise good tenant screening services that you use or might know of? So yes, this is the most important process, the rental. There's a lot of options out there. Many of these are tied to marketing platforms that you may be using already to advertise your single family property. I'll throw some names out there. Zillow, apartments.com. If you're using those to market your property, they also have application and screening software attached. So when the person finds the property, they can go ahead and go through and do the application and the screening software. They'll send you an email back, and you don't get everything. You get an overview. Hey, here's the credit. Here's the rental history, that sort of thing. There is management software that a lot of our members use, and the management software also has a screening, criminal eviction credit screening process attached to it. So you can send them the link. Hey, you want to rent our property? Here's my management platform where you're going to pay your lease, but also here's the link to the screening side and the application side. There's a company that I have used in the past called NTN. I don't know what NTN stands for. I believe they're a Lifestyles Unlimited member, vendor. We have our entire vendor program. As a member, you have access to our vendor program. You just click on the link on the website and you can go through. And there are screening vendors that will do the screening for you. NTN Seamless. You have your potential resident go to NTN. They pay the fee for the screening, so they're paying for it. They're going to provide all their information, and then NTN hands that in the background, handles that, and then sends me an email, and I can compare my potential renters and choose the best one for my property. And along the way, I never forget, it's not about the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.